for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, May the 27th, 2011. Carla Batard is the speaker of the service, teaching on the spirit of heaviness.
I am going to be sharing the word today on the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness. Okay, let's see. I want to start. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 69. That's where we're going to start. We'll be jumping around. Psalm 69, verse 1. We're going to start at verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Go down to verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near unto my soul, redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. These scriptures in Psalm 69 can very well describe where many are today. They are crying out in their spirit because of trouble, because of reproach, because of brokenness in the heart, because of something that's happened in their lives. Verse 20 says, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. That word heaviness in the Strong's Concordance means to be sick, such as distressed, or full of heaviness. In Webster, it says, the quality or state of being heavy, having great weight, or weight greater than normal, hard to bear, grievous, oppressed, burdened, slow or dull from loss of vitality or resiliency, lacking mirth or gaiety, weary, saddened, despondent, melancholy or brooding. These are all words that describe what heaviness is in that particular scripture. There's also a word reproach used there, and it means to find fault, complain fretfully, to expose as by stripping. It can also be a cause of blame or disgrace. That word fret means to suffer emotional strain. There are a lot of people today, even those in the church, that are suffering from emotional strain because of things that they're having to face in their lives. It means becoming irritated, worried, vexed, which means troubled, distressed, agitated, shaken, or tossed about. The Lord does not want us to have a spirit of heaviness, because you cannot really function under a spirit of heaviness. It will cause you to be ineffective for the kingdom, for one thing, and it can also cause many things to happen in your body and even in your mind, and we're going to see that as we go on. Let's look. Turn to Proverbs 12:25. Proverbs 12:25. It says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." That's why we should always let our words be, as it says in the New Testament, to that of the edifying and the blessing of those that hear it. Okay, that word, in this particular scripture, the heaviness means anxiety and fear, which can also be a cause of stress. Anxiety and fear. The word stoop means depressed or prostrate, overcome completely or complete physical or mental exhaustion. It can even mean a breakdown, you know, when you just cannot go anymore and you break down. It can cause weakness and hopelessness. So heaviness, fear and anxiety and stress in the heart of man makes it depressed, overcome, overwhelmed, exhausted, being weak, having hopelessness, physical or mental exhaustion. To the point that you are prostrate. It means you're just like laying down. You can't even get up and do. You don't even have the will to get up and do. The heaviness of a heart. Now the word glad, it says, but a good word maketh it glad, makes your heart glad. Glad means merry-hearted, joyful, heedless. That means paying no attention to and not concerning yourself with whatever would cause your heart to be heavy or sorrowful. That's not an easy thing to do when it's staring you in the face and it's something that you're having to experience day in and day out. I want to show you a way to handle those things. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 4, we're going to look at how Abraham dealt with this. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Now we know that when Abram was promised a son, his name would be called Isaac, and he waited some 20 or more years for this son, the promised son that God had promised him, told him about, him and his wife. That's a long time to wait for something. One day I was driving up here coming to camp and I was praying about my family, my children especially, and I was saying, Lord, it has been 13 years. 13 years we've been in this. Enough is enough. I started doing warfare, you know, and then it dawned on me that, well, you know, Abraham waited 20 or more years for Isaac. He made some mistakes. You know, we do that sometimes. We want it to happen so bad that we try to make it happen ourselves, and we can really create a mess. Okay, so in verse 17 of Romans 4, it says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, God, who giveth life to the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were." How did God do that with Abraham? He changed his name. His name was Abram, but then he gave him the promise of a son, and that son would multiply into nations. And so he changed his name to Abraham, which means a father of a multitude. Did he have any children at that time? No. So if I'm looking at my situation, are my children obeying God right now? No. But God wants us to be like Him in the respect that you begin to speak that thing and it will change what's coming. He called those things that were not Abraham, I want you to call yourself Abraham now, because that's going to be a reminder of the promise that I've given you. Every time you say your name, you're saying, I am a father of a multitude. I am a father of a multitude. My descendants will outnumber the grains of sand on the shores. That's what God said to him. Even if you could count the number of stars in the sky. That's pretty awesome. And yet, they're barren. They don't even have a child. So, every time he said his name, he was agreeing with what God said. And that's what we have to do in order to get through some of the times that we are faced with that causes these places in our heart to be heavy and sorrowful. Okay. In verse 18, who against hope? Now, what does that mean? Against hope, believed in hope. There was nothing that he could see that gave him hope that this was going to be. Nothing that he could see. But he hoped against hope. He believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Okay, so we have to keep our hope alive. Never let go of the hope of what God has said to you, what God is speaking to you through his word. Okay, in verse 19 it says, and being not weak in faith, that means he was strong in faith. How was he strong in faith? He considered not. What did this say over here? To be merry-hearted and joyful, be heedless, paying no attention to or not concerning yourself with whatever the situation is. Okay, so he considered not. What did Abraham consider not? He considered not the facts. That's what I liked. He considered not what he could see, what he knew to be true, the very thing that was in his face every day, having no child. He looks at what was her name? Sarah. He looks at Sarah, and she is an old woman. Women that age are not very fruitful. They're past childbearing age. But he considers it not. He pays that no mind. He heeds it not. Because if he does heed it, then it's not going to help the promise. He won't be receiving the promise. So he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So being not weak in faith, he was strong in faith, considering not. Now, that was something that I had to learn how to do pretty quick. Because I have come from a long line of worriers, fretters. It's like we don't only not consider. We consider, we talk about it, we repeat it day after day, we look at it, we think that it's going to be that way forever. That's what we do. We talk it. And if you don't talk it, they'll remind you about it. So you have to learn to consider not. I mean, when that phone, there was a time when the phone rang after a certain hour at night, we knew that one of ours was in jail. I learned to consider not the ringing of the phone. I consider it not. It doesn't matter. Because I know what God has told me about my children. And it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. I see the facts. I'm a realist. I mean, I look at it, and if that's the way it is, well, hey, that's the way it is, because I'm a realist. But see, one of the definitions for the word repent means to change your thinking. Change your thinking. I have had to change my thinking in order to get in line with God's program. Because I had been programmed by the world and by my relatives, by tradition. So, Abraham had to do that too. And the way God did it was changing his name. You know, as somebody was praying for my husband the other day, and I heard it just as clear. God said, don't call him Mike anymore. That's not his name. His name is Michael. And I thought, wow, I never even thought about that. I mean, we've had teachers up here, you know, that talk about the importance of a name. And we see God changed many names in the Bible from one thing to another. Well, he changed Michael's name the other day. I'm not too thrilled about it, but but I love what it means. I looked it up, and it means a warrior, a leader, everything I'm praying for him to be. So I started calling him Michael. He just laughed at that, and I said, "Well, get used to it, because that's what God told me to call you, because that's your name." So now he's calling me Ruth because that's my middle name. I said, hey, that's good too. Hey, that's a compliment. Okay, so we have to be strong in faith and learn to consider not what we see. In verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. We stagger sometimes at the promises. And it's what causes us to stagger is unbelief. When we stagger at something God has told us, it's basically unbelief. And unbelief is a terrible thing. It's an evil spirit. In fact, somewhere in the Word it says not to have the evil heart of unbelief. It's an evil heart that has unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now this, I think, is very important. I think it's key in working with the program until your promise manifests, is giving glory to God. You start thanking him. It says that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. It doesn't quote him anywhere as having done this, but I believe he began to thank God for Isaac. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for that son that you're going to give me. I believe he began to thank him. He was giving glory. He was glorifying God for the miracle that he was going to do, because he was fully persuaded that if God said it, it was going to be. And therefore, it says, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Okay, now it was not written in verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. See, that's now, it's for us. It's when we believe, it is imputed unto us for righteousness because of Jesus. Jesus is our righteousness. Okay, so that is a way. I want you to remember those four or five things here, that he called those things that were not as though they were by calling himself who God said he was. Now, the Bible says a lot about who we are. And sometimes we stagger at that. We can't even receive it. We can't comprehend it. In fact, there have been people who tell us that we are out of God's will to even proclaim that. But, you know, the Word says that unless we become as little children, we will not enter into the kingdom. And you know what I love about little children? They just believe what you tell them. If I tell mine that that they can do a certain thing, they don't hesitate in doing it. It only happens as you begin to grow and fear begins to come in, or people say, you can't do that, that we begin to become inhibited, so we don't even try it. And that's one thing, one trait about myself that I love. My husband calls it gullibility. He'll tell people, you know, someone will come in. Let's see if I can remember one. I can't think of one offhand, but somebody will say something and Mike can see me. I'm trying to, and Mike says, you better not tell her that because she'll believe you. That's why I married her. She believes everything I tell her. I told her I was the greatest man on earth and she believed it and married me. But you know, that's not a bad thing when it comes to the Word of God. Because of that, when I read the Word, I believed it and started doing it and seeing things happen as a result of it. So sometimes people will say to me, well, you didn't have anything to do with that. That wasn't you. I said, well, I know that. Well, do you think that Jesus needs you to lay hands on people to be healed? I said, no, but he tells us to. So I'm going to do it. So, you know, those kind of things. I'll never forget whenever God started dealing with me about believing him. And then I come to, you know, there's many, it's been a process of learning to believe him for my health, learning to believe him for provision. I mean, even down to one year I was going to, at that time I was canning a lot and I needed some jars, but we didn't have enough money for me to go buy jars yet. So I was having to wait, but you know, tomatoes don't wait. They kind of go bad. And so I told the Lord, Lord, I really need some jars to get this canning done. And I walked outside one day and on my back porch were two cases of quart-sized jars. To this day, I don't know who gave me those jars. Well, I know that God gave them to me because every good and perfect gift is from God. It doesn't matter who gave it to you. Even if the person who gave it to you, you should really thank God for it. Because it was God who laid it on that person's heart to bring me the jars. See? So, it's a process. But whenever it got to more important things, and I loved what Patty said this morning because, you know, we can trust God. He is our provider. If we let our needs be made known, some people would say, oh, now, you know, you don't need to go for him for jars. Borrow some money from your mother, you know. Don't bother God with that. He's got bigger things to worry. Listen, God's big enough for it all. And he personally told me when he healed me of this, of depression is really what it was. It's different from being having a spirit of heaviness because that can come and go. But he was talking to me about insurance. And it was 6 months, and this is what I love about the Holy Ghost. One of the traits of the Holy Ghost is that he will show you things to come. We don't hear about that one very often, but he will show you things to come. If you're sensitive, I won't say that if you're sensitive, like I was some sensitive person that heard him, but he was speaking to me through his word first. And so, you know, I see, if any among you are sick, let them call on the elders of the church. Well, I did that the first time. After I read those scriptures, oh, I didn't know we were supposed to do that. Our church never did that. We were in a new church, so I called them up and wanted to know who the elders were, and the secretary wanted to know why I wanted to know who the elders were, and, you know, it got kind of sticky, and I said, well, I read in the Bible that if any among you are sick, you should call on the elders of the church. I don't even know who they are. Well, we don't actually do that. And I'm like, whoa, Lord, am I in the right church? But anyway, so I started going to God. He told me that if you get sick, I can heal you. So I go to God. I do what it says. It says we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I laid hands on my children. You know, sickness, they would get healed. The doctor's visit stopped. A little later, he said, you know, I not only can heal you when you get sick, I can keep you. Really? Okay. Sounds good to me. So I committed all of us to God. And do you know, we quit getting sick. Well, about 6 months later, our health insurance was canceled at the place where my husband worked. That was in 1988. We've not had health insurance since 1988. And then my family got in a panic. Of course, they're worried that they might have to pay the bills, you know, but we're well. I mean, really, God had proved himself that he could keep us. So, when we lost our health insurance, then there was a decision to be made. Either I had to go to work, put the kids in daycare and go to work, or if we bought insurance, we wouldn't have enough money to buy groceries. You know, that was pretty tough. But then when it was canceled, I'd been talking to Mike about dropping our insurance. And he wouldn't do it because he felt like that was his duty as a husband and a father. And I understand that. So I just told the Lord, well, I did my best, Lord. You know, you'll have to take it from here. So when the insurance was canceled and we started looking into getting insurance, it was going to take like a third of his paycheck. So now you got to trust God. Of course, I already was, but Mike learned to trust God with our health and everything. But my relatives were like, I said, listen, we're believing God for our health. Well, God doesn't want you to be stupid. And I said, oh, wait a minute. Are you saying that I'm stupid for trusting God? And then it was like, well, you know, they didn't quite know how to answer. But, you know, some people will say that you're foolish if you trust God for things, for anything. Trust God, period. Some people will make you feel like you're uneducated and stupid and weak and all that. But it's quite the opposite. Okay. So, let's see. Our next scripture is Proverbs 10:1. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son the heaviness of his mother. I can tell you that is true. When I first read this scripture, now in this particular scripture, the word heaviness means cause of grief. A foolish son will cause you grief. But I thought it was interesting that a wise son makes a glad father and the foolish son the heaviness of his mother. I said, Lord, what's up with that? Well, the reason for that is because the father is the head of the house. And so that heaviness, the father could do something about a foolish son. The father should step in and discipline and all these things. And if that's not done, then it's the heaviness to the mother's heart. I thought that was kind of interesting. The wise son makes the father glad, but the foolish son, the heaviness of the mother's heart. In that scripture, it means cause of grief and depression, as in the spirit. Okay, let's look at Ecclesiastes 11:10. That's right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 11:10. It says, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. Remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. Okay, in this scripture, the word evil means adversity, affliction, calamity, hurt, misery, pain, and there were some more, but that's enough. Sorrow in your heart can cause adversity, affliction, calamity, hurt, misery, and pain in your flesh. So there may be some physical ailments that you are experiencing in your body if you have this heaviness on you that is caused by the sorrow in your heart. So we want to deal with that today. Look at Psalm 119:28. It says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. My soul melteth for heaviness. That word melteth it's a root word meaning drip, by implication, weep. So I guess they're talking about tears dripping out of your eyes. Your soul, my soul melteth for heaviness. In this scripture, the soul is your moral and emotional nature. Let's look at Philippians 4. Keep your finger back there at Psalms and flip over to Philippians 4:8. You're all familiar with these scriptures. But at a time of heaviness, when you feel heaviness come on you, this is a good set of scriptures. That's why I wanted to start with that song. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's important. You know, some time ago, we quit watching the news. It wasn't my idea. My husband said, I'm not watching that anymore. They don't have anything good. It is. He calls it the gruesome news. Because that's all that is on the news. This person got stabbed. This person got shot. This. Look at this car crash. Look at this. Look at that. It's just all... It is a plot, really, of the enemy to instill fear and fear and more fear. They talk about, they'll have a segment where there's a judge on there and he talks about legal problems. And then there's a doctor on there and he talks about all your physical problems. It's just nothing but problems, 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 and trouble. And if you listen to that for any length of time, it can cause you to become heavy-hearted and sorrowful. So he says right here, be anxious for nothing. That's hard to do sometimes. But when you get like that, just begin to think on things that are good. Think of good things, and it'll change your heart attitude. Okay, look at Proverbs 18:14. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. You know, if you keep your spirit strong and healthy and well-fed, it will sustain you in a time of infirmity. It doesn't have nearly the effect on you that it would when your soul was not healthy, your spirit was not healthy. I told Glenn one time that I said, It is your spirit man that is sustaining your infirmity. There is no way you should even be alive. And he whipped death over and over and over. I know that the people in that hospital were amazed every time he went in and even more amazed every time he went out. Because I know they thought every time, this is going to be his last time. This is going to be his last time. But let me tell you, he had a strong spirit man. And it kept him for a long time. Okay, so let's see, where was I going? Proverbs. Okay. Okay. Let's look at Matthew 11:28. You know this scripture too. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word labor means to feel fatigue. Fatigue means a temporary loss of power to respond. When you get like that, you just don't even have the power to respond. You are so tired. To feel fatigue, by implication, to work hard or to be wearied. Okay? He says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The word rest means to cause to settle down, to cause to desist, and it means abode. So if you abide in Him, then you'll have that rest. If you abide in Him, I'll never forget in my time of, well, it was more than a spirit of heaviness. It was a spirit of heaviness, but it progressed into a deep depression. And I was crying out to God, like that first psalm that we read. You know, I'm down in the mire. Bring me out of the pit. You know, the floodwaters have overtaken me. I just There was no life left in me. I was so exhausted mentally and emotionally and spiritually that I didn't have the power to respond anymore. And I really felt like I was dying. It was a spirit of death, too, because it was trying to kill me. I certainly felt like I was being killed, a slow, agonizing death. But one of the things that the Lord told me in this time of heaviness, I was asking Him, how can I live? And He told me to live and move and have your being in my presence. Be about what I've called you to do and leave the rest of the mess to me. That was a real weight that lifted off of me, because the rest of the mess that He was talking about was a lot of things that I was trying to do that He hadn't called me to do. You get into false responsibility. You get into trying to live up to certain expectations by your parents, by your church, by your husband, by your children, by your in-laws, by your grandparents. I mean, just everybody. But when He said, live and move and have your being in my presence, see, He wants us to be in that place of rest. He desires that for us. That's one of the reasons He shed all of His blood, so that we could enter into His rest. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. You know, at that time I had 3 babies, and it was overwhelming. I was overcome, overwhelmed. All of these, I was in emotional stress. I was fretting. I was vexed, troubled, agitated, shaken. All of these words that I have talked about, they all described me at that time. And there was no life left in me. It was hard work. I would get up in the morning, and before I could even drag myself to the chair, the first one would get up, and the demands would start. And then the second one would wake up. And before I could get the first one fed, the second one was up. And I mean, I would be in my gown all day long, never have brushed my teeth, never have combed my hair, never have washed my face, didn't even get my clothes on. Mike would come home, and I couldn't believe it was 5 o'clock already. I mean, that's how busy. It was just busy, 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 busy. Working, 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 working. And it was killing me. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to look at verses chapter 4, 9, 10, and 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore. This is the good kind of labor. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Turn back over in Hebrews 3. This is, he's talking about the children of Israel that Moses had delivered out of Egypt. He brought them to the promised land. And it says in verse 18 or 17, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Now, in my Bible, there's 2 words right there in italics. It says, was it not, like a question. But it's actually, if you remove those italicized words that are not in the original text, it says this. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he swore that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And then it goes on, let us, in chapter 4, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us, entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That is the, it says, let us fear. Well, you know, we know that fear is not from God, but what it means is take that very seriously, to enter into his rest. He wants us to enter into his rest. And it can, all these things can when you're not in His rest and you're fretting and you're worried and you're vexed and you're irritated and finding fault and complaining fretfully and all of these things that we've talked about, you get out of His rest. And that's when the enemy can really come in and bring you sickness and mental problems. Okay? Look at 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. If you have a care, give it to Him. Talk to Him about it. Bring Him into the situation. It's just amazing how He will give you a thought or a plan, an option, whenever you bring Him into it. It's like what Proverbs 3:5-6 says, lean not unto your own understanding. Let me read that because I don't want to quote it wrong, but I love that scripture. That's one of the groups of scriptures that I try to live my life by. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. The navel, the definition of navel is the center of strength. That's what navel means, the center of strength. And the bones means the body or the substance. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Okay, so we want to deal today with the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness. I hope I've talked and read these scriptures, if anything has come to your mind that might be causing you to have a spirit of heaviness, I want you to cast that on the Lord right now, whatever the situation is. Just give you a few minutes to think about it, a few seconds, and then we're gonna cast that out. Lord, we thank You. We thank You that You died on the cross for our, not only for our salvation, but for our healing, for our rest. Lord, for life and life more abundantly, free from anxiety, free from fear. Okay, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this spirit of heaviness. I bind you and break your power, and I command you to go. I break that power of the spirit of heaviness in Jesus' name. You go. Get out. Go now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of heaviness, we come against oppression. Oppression, go in the name of Jesus. All oppression, grief, sadness, go in the name of Jesus. Sorrow, go. I speak to melancholy. I break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All brooding, go in the name of Jesus. Distress, being distressed and worried and vexed and fearing and having anxiety attacks, go in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I command you to leave now in Jesus' name. All fault finding, go in the name of Jesus. When we get out of that place of peace, we start nitpicking everything. I bind that spirit of fault-finding. Go in the name of Jesus. I break your power. I break the power of complaining fretfully. All complaining, go in the name of Jesus. Sickness, all infirmity, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Get sorrow. I speak to sorrow right now. Get out of the hearts right now. Sorrow. Leave the hearts right now. Leave our hearts, sorrow. Go. All sadness in the name of Jesus. Weeping. All weeping. Lord, we want that sorrow out of our hearts so that we can put away adversity, affliction, calamity, hurt, misery, and pain out of our flesh right now. I bind and break the power of the sorrow of the heart And I command adversity to stop in Jesus' name. All adversity, go. Affliction, go in the name of Jesus. All calamity, go in the name of Jesus. Pain, go in the name of Jesus. All misery, I speak to misery, go in the name of Jesus. I speak to weeping, crying, in the name of Jesus. All weeping, go. Weeping caused by a sorrowful heart, you go in the name of Jesus. Fretting, I speak to fretting right now in the name of Jesus. All fretting, I command you to cease and desist right now. Fretting, go in the name of Jesus. I break the power of fretting. I break the power of emotional strain in the name of Jesus. All emotional strain, go in the name of Jesus. Irritation, go in the name of Jesus. I break your power. All irritation, go. Agitation, being agitated. Agitated state in the name of Jesus. You go. All agitation, I break your power and command you to go. All shaking, trembling caused by fear and anxiety. Shaking and trembling, go in the name of Jesus. Being tossed about, wishy-washy, confused in the name of Jesus. I speak to all confusion in the mind. Go in the name of Jesus. All confusion, you go. I speak peace to your minds right now in Jesus' name. Fatigue, I speak to fatigue right now. All fatigue, you go. Being tired all the time, that's one of the manifestations of the spirit of heaviness. Fatigue, all tiredness. All fatigue, you go. That temporary loss of power to respond, I bind you and break your power. You go in the name of Jesus. Being driven. I speak to drivenness. You go in Jesus' name. Feeling like it, not allowing yourself to sit down and rest. I bind that spirit of drivenness in Jesus' name. Weariness, go. All weariness, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Labor, heavy ladenness, I bind you and break your power. All heavy ladenness, you go in the name of Jesus. I break the false yoke of responsibility, the yoke of false responsibility. I break that off of us right now in the name of Jesus. All false responsibility. Getting involved in things that you have no authority in. If you have no authority, you have no responsibility. So I break that false responsibility right now. The need to fix everything. The need to take care of everybody. In Jesus' name. I come against unbelief in the name of Jesus. I bind and break the spirit of unbelief right now. Unbelief, you go. We bind you in the name of Jesus. I command all unbelief to come out of our hearts, come out of our minds, in the name of Jesus. Come out of our spirits. All unbelief, you go. Doubt, go in the name of Jesus. I bind considering what we see. I bind that. Living by what you see and being moved by what you see. I bind it in Jesus' name and break your power. In Jesus' name. Flip back over there to Romans. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Set us free, Lord. Set us free from all this heaviness in the name of Jesus. Hopelessness. I bind every spirit of hopelessness in the name of Jesus. That thought, I bind every tormenting spirit that comes to you and tells you this is never going to change. You're wasting your time. Don't even bother. I come against all hopelessness. I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Weakness. I speak to weakness right now. I bind you, break your power, and command you to go. All weakness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bind the lying spirit, all lying spirits. I bind you and command you to go. I break your power. I command you to shut up in Jesus' name. We will not listen to the voice of the enemy. I bind every lying spirit, every tormenting spirit in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I speak to woundedness. Woundedness in the name of Jesus. All woundedness. I speak to the wounded spirit. I speak healing to the wounded spirit right now in Jesus' name. I speak healing to the brokenhearted places. I speak healing to your bodies in the name of Jesus. Bodies be made whole in Jesus' name. I come against disappointments. Disappointments, broken dreams that causes our hearts to be heavy, that fills us with sorrow. I bind you and break your power right now. You go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, right now, I thank you. I thank you for these spirits being dealt with. Lord, I ask you to come and shut every door and seal it shut. I command all of those spirits not to come back in Jesus' name. And if you feel it coming back, use some of these scriptures that we have talked about today to combat that spirit of heaviness again. Lord, right now, I just want to bless your women, bless even myself, Lord, with joy. I just loose upon you joy in the place of sadness. I loose gladness in the place of sorrow. I loose mirth and happiness. Laughter. I loose laughter upon the women. For a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit may even cause you to have osteoporosis. There's many, many illnesses that are caused by this spirit. I loose upon the women thankfulness. Lord, gratefulness, a grateful heart, a spirit of thankfulness. Forgiveness. I bind every spirit of unforgiveness in the name of Jesus. For anyone who's caused you to have a spirit of heaviness, I bind every spirit of unforgiveness right now, and I loose upon you forgiveness, the ability to forgive, the desire to forgive in Jesus' name. I loose upon you peace, the peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding. I speak peace to your minds right now. I speak peace to your spirit, your emotions, and your body. I loose the rest of God. Enter into his rest. I just loose that rest right now. I bless us, each one, with the rest of God. I bless us with love, the love of God, that perfect love that casts out all fear. Lord, a fresh baptism of your love today. I ask for a fresh baptism of your love today. Pour out your love so profoundly on us, Lord, that there's not room for any of these spirits to be in us. I loose upon you vitality and energy in the name of Jesus. I loose upon you hope in the place of hopelessness. I loose upon you hope. I loose upon you faith right now in the name of Jesus. I bind that unbelief and I replace it with faith, the faith of God even, with patience. I need to read you another scripture out of Hebrews. Lord, I do lose patience upon the women, on all of us, because that we not be weary in well-doing. Hebrews 10:35-36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So, Lord, I just lose confidence upon your women and patience and confidence in Jesus' name. I loose upon you light in place of darkness. I bind the spirit of darkness right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to go. I break every power of darkness working in your life, and I command it to go right now. And, Lord, send in your light right now. Flood us with your light. John 1:5 says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. When there's light, darkness cannot stay. So let your light shine, ladies. Lord, just bless them with light. Fill them with your light. I speak health to your bodies, your minds, your spirit, your soul, your emotions. I loose upon you health and wholeness. I loose upon you soundness. I loose upon you strength. I speak strength to you right now in the name of Jesus. In place of that weakness, strength. I lose healing. Healing to your mind, your emotions, your bodies, your spirits. Be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want to read one more scripture and then we're going to sing a couple of songs to exit with that we can keep in our hearts as we go. Isaiah 61. More familiar scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Lord, I open the prison doors right now. We break those locks off of those doors and we swing the doors open and we say, come out of prison. We speak to the captives to be free in the name of Jesus. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance to our God. To comfort all that mourn. I just loose upon you now. Holy Spirit, you are the comforter. We thank you that you are here to comfort your women today. To appoint unto those who mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes. Lord, I just release beauty for ashes on each of us. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise. Do you hear that? A garment of praise. Lord, I ask you to clothe us with a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that you might be glorified. We thank you for that, Father. Let us be a glorifying people to you in Jesus' name. Now we're going to sing a couple of songs and then you can be dismissed. Thank you, Jesus.
Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be trees of righteousness, the planted of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Let's see the line.
For the spirit of heaviness,
garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with the understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord.
That's why I didn't use that one. I don't know it. And the last one we're going to sing.
Melody.
Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Jesus in my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Thank you, Jane. There's a little tune y'all can a little happy tune. When you get that, when you feel that heaviness coming on you, that's the way to break it. That garment of praise. So, ladies, I just thank you. If anybody needs any special prayer, I'll be happy to pray for you. So just feel free to, it's 2:25, so we have like 35 minutes. If you want to catch a cat nap or whatever, but be back at 3. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.